Okay, so that's just a little bit about leading a balanced life and making wise decisions. What I'd like to do now is open it for questions and answers. Perhaps you can write some of your questions down, and then are there ushers who will come up and down the aisles and pick them up? Okay, so here's one question. What happens if the other person shuts the door and refuses to communicate? So even though, you know, oneself has tried to communicate, everything you do, the other person sees as negative, and they won't even talk to you about it. Yeah, we've all been in that situation before, haven't we? You know, something's amiss with somebody else, we try and fix it, but the other person isn't ready to talk about it. At that time, we just have to be patient. Yeah. If the other person is too angry, if they're too upset, we can't make them talk. Yeah. If we then get angry and yell at them, "Why don't you talk to me?" then that's not going to make them talk. Okay. So lots of times we just have to be patient and wait until the other person's mind becomes a little bit more open. Okay, so we still continue. We should try and be kind. We should be polite to the other person. Yeah, don't be discourteous or rude. Be polite, be kind, and just wait until they're ready to talk. Because that's basically all you can do. And you can make prayers for them. And I think this can be really beneficial in your own meditation practice, to really make prayers for the benefit of the people who are angry at you and who are too angry to talk about it right now, okay? Because they're suffering a lot. And make prayers, wouldn't it be wonderful if they could relax their minds, if they weren't so angry, if they weren't so tied up in knots themselves, so that they could talk about it and try and remedy the problem. So it's quite effective to make prayers for them, or to do the meditation on loving kindness. That's called the meta meditation, where we send them loving kindness. Or there's another meditation called the taking and giving meditation, where we imagine taking on others' suffering and giving them our happiness, and that's also a very good meditation to do for that person. You want to ask a question?
Yes. I have a disability. How do you cope with discrimination?
You know, when people discriminate, they do so out of ignorance. Yeah? And when people are ignorant, that is the cause for compassion for them. Because when people are ignorant and discriminate out of their own ignorance or out of their own fear, they're the ones who are losing out. So again, the discrimination has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the ignorance of the other beings. And so the best thing is to wish them loving kindness and to wish them to be free of their ignorance. Okay? Then the next question here is, what is purification practice? And how does it work on oneself? Okay. So purification practice is how we counteract and how we prevent the effects of our negative karma, our mistaken actions. And so there's a four-step process. The first step is to regret our mistakes. The second step is to take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha and to generate love and compassion for the people who harm us, and love and compassion for the people that we've harmed. Oops. Yeah. So to purify, we have to develop the love and compassion for the people that we've harmed. And so this helps us restore the relationship. Okay. Then we make a determination not to do it again. And then we do some kind of purification practice, okay, which could be bowing, making offerings, doing volunteer work, printing Buddhist books, doing meditation. There's many kinds of remedial actions. So these four steps are the way to do purification. And it's very powerful psychologically as well as spiritually. Because then instead of carrying around our mistaken actions and feel guilty, we, you know, reveal them and we purify them, we set them down and we make peace. And then we can move on in our lives. So how do I adapt a balanced view towards colleagues who are mean and are out to make life difficult for me because I got promoted instead of them? Well, if they had gotten promoted instead of you, maybe you would be making life difficult for them. So it's an interesting thing. Are you really ahead by getting promoted, or are you behind? What I'm getting at is that, you know, sometimes we want the promotion. When we don't get it, we're jealous of the person who got it. And when we do get it, then we have to bear other people being jealous of us. So where's the happiness in it? Okay. So I think if there's a situation where people are jealous of you like that, the best thing to do is just be kind to them. Yeah. If you act very arrogant and, you know, I got the promotion, so I can do this, and the boss thought I was the best one, then that's just going to really antagonize them and make the situation worse. Whereas if you act in a very humble way and you are still very friendly towards them, you ask their opinions, you seek their advice. You know, you still have your new responsibility, but you don't act separate from the other people. Then this will enable those people to be able to trust you and to feel that you're still friendly. Okay? So the best way is don't be arrogant, but be very friendly to the people and try to help them and just be casual. Be the same person you were before. Okay, so here's a question. Is it being attached or greedy to want the people that you love to attain enlightenment? Okay. I don't think so, but it's best to wish that not only the people you love attain enlightenment, but that all sentient beings attain enlightenment. Okay, so it's best when you have these spiritual wishes to try and be as universal as you can, and not just may my family attain enlightenment, but may all sentient beings attain enlightenment. Why? Because they all have the Buddha potential, the Buddha nature. Yeah. Why? Because they all want to have happiness and avoid suffering. So let's generate these virtuous wishes and aspirations for everybody, yeah, in addition to the people that we love and care about. Okay, so somebody's saying, I have two teenage children. My husband and I love them very much, and we want to be good parents, that is, to guide and motivate and encourage them in the right way so that they will realize their highest potential. What should we do so that we can help them achieve that? So that's a very lovely question. You know, parents who really want to see their children, at, you know, actualize their highest potential. Okay, so some advice I have here is don't put your own expectations on your children. Yeah. In other words, let your children discover what their own talents are. And when they find what their own talents and abilities are, then you reinforce those and encourage those. Okay. So let's say your child is a very good musician. Now, you want your child to be an engineer because you think if they're an engineer, then they're going to have a stable job, they'll make more money, and so you keep pressuring your child to be an engineer, but your child doesn't like engineering, and they like music. And when they play music, they're happy, and when they play music, they're able to make other people around them happy. Then don't force them to do what you want them to do. Give them space and allow them to develop their own talents and encourage them that whatever their abilities are, to use their abilities to make the world a better place. So it doesn't matter if they're a musician or if they're a photographer or a journalist or who knows what they are, but really teach your kids, you know, to have the thought to leave the world with fewer problems than they entered it with. Okay? And to solve more problems in the world than they cause. And so hold that as a value yourself as parents and try and model that and teach that to your kids. And then however they wish to display that, you know, like I said, they all have their own unique talents and abilities. So let them make the world a better place according to their way of doing that. Okay? Because if you try and squeeze your child so that they have the kind of profession that you want them to have, but it's not something that they like, then they're not going to be very happy. Okay? So your job as parents is to teach them good values and then let them live those values according to their own talents. Okay? Now, you not only as parents have to teach your kids that, but you have to model it. And that, I think, is very difficult. The most difficult thing about being a parent is you have to act in the way that you want your children to act. And that can be hard, can't it? Yeah. My parents used to joke with us and say, "Do as I say, not as I do." Yeah. In other words, follow my instructions, but don't copy how I behave, because sometimes I don't even follow my own instructions. But the thing is with kids is children learn by observing. And if as a parent you teach your children one thing, but you act another way, what they learn is hypocrisy. Okay? So you have to teach your children good values. If you're unable to live up to those things yourself, then try harder and also acknowledge to your children that I'm not perfect. You know, these are good values. I want to live better, but I have my own faults and weaknesses and I'm working on them. I accept them, but I'm trying to work on them. Okay? So just even showing your children, modeling for them how to accept our own faults and at the same time try and improve ourselves, that also can be a good role model for your kids. In other words, you don't have to be perfect, but being honest is very good. Yeah. Whereas if you, you know, as parents, If you, you know, lie, and then you tell your children not to lie, but your children know that you lie, you know, then you're just teaching them to be deceptive and to be dishonest. Yeah. Whereas, you know, if you notice that your speech isn't so good, try and clean it up and don't lie so much. Okay? And you're doing that for the benefit of your kids. Or if you have a very bad habit lying, okay, then you have to say to your kids, you know, I have a bad habit and it's not good and I'm trying to work on it. Okay? So at least that lets them know that you're telling the truth, and that helps them to also accept that they too are less than perfect. How do we balance our lives in terms of money? Many times making money could mean overworking, over-socializing, and so on. Okay? One of the problems I see that we have as a society is that we're beginning to think that our success as human beings is how much money we make. And I don't think that's a very good criteria for our success. Yeah, because money comes and money goes. And you can be a very kind person and have very little money. You can be a very rich person and be a kind person. You can be a poor person and be kind. You can be a poor person and be nasty. But the main thing is that we have a good heart. And you can't measure a good heart by dollars. It just doesn't work. And if we try and measure our success as human beings by the amount of money we make or the amount of possessions we have, then we're destroying our family lives. We're destroying the connection that we feel with other human beings. And we're going to wind up very, very unhappy as individuals and as a society. You know, because, you know, the thing, if you look in our lives, you know, what is it that brings real joy and happiness? And it's connecting to other living beings and making our life meaningful by being able to help and benefit others. I think that's what really gives us a sense of joy and satisfaction in our life. And if we, you know, go work all out just to get money, but we don't know how to relate to human beings, we don't know how to love others, we don't know how to receive love, we don't know how to act for the benefit of others, then I think we're really losing out on something very, very important in our life. So I think we have to be very brave here and know in our own hearts that our success as human beings is not measured by our material possessions. Yeah. And other people may think it is, but we know that it isn't. And other people can criticize us and push us to make more money, but we say in return, I want to have happiness. And money doesn't always bring that. So you be very, very strong in your own beliefs and your own principles, and you live by them, regardless of what society says or other people pressure you to do. I think that's quite important.